Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. We're going to look at verses 22 through 33. A familiar passage to most here, if not all. I want to say thanks to Brother Danny for filling in last week for us. Well, all right. We're going to deal with the incident of Peter walking on the water there, and he starts to take his eyes off the Lord and starts to see the waves and starts to sink. And we're dealing with faith, and so we shall see, Lord willing, what he would have for us to see here. Let's look at verse 22 of our text. Scripture says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship and the wind ceased, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of the truth, thou art the Son of God. You see this incident here, but the difference in the incident we've been covering in our Sunday, we've been going over faith for the ladies that are up here the last several, probably about the last month and a half, and we dealt with the incident when the disciples were in the ship with the Lord, and this time he's not in the ship with them. And one of the major differences in this incident and the other incident, they were both instructions of faith, but was that the circumstances changed in the first incident, and the circumstances didn't change in this incident, if you will. And what I mean by that is, when they got into the ship going to the other side, and the storm arose, that they entered the ship in the calm. But once they were in the ship, the storm arose, and they started to get afraid. They went and awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rebuked them. He not only rebuked the wind and the waves, but he rebuked them and said, Where is your faith? Not that they didn't have it, but he said, Where is it? And we talk about faith a lot of times in church settings, and we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen, according to Hebrews 11:1. But really, what does faith look like? Faith is a substance, the Scripture tells us. But faith is an action. It's not just some belief. It's not just something that we know. It must be put into action. So faith ultimately is recalling knowledge of God. You retain that knowledge from reading Scripture, from meditation, from going to church, from going to Sunday school. But you take that knowledge, and now you apply that knowledge to the situation at hand. And so he says, Where is your faith? He said, You have it. Because it was, we know that faith is what? A gift of what? A gift of God that is given to us by our Lord at salvation. So we have faith, but we're responsible to put that into action, to exercise it. And one of the differences we talked about in little faith and great faith is exercising it. You think about, I was just talking to Rebecca. I've been spending some time with Daniel, and that you all remember Daniel. And he, was in prison and stuff, but one of the things that he'd like to do there was to work out, to exercise. I remember in Afghanistan, that was when I wasn't out on mission. If we were on the base, there was not a lot to do. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to exercise. Well, I never was, you know, an Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I put on 20 pounds in 13 months. Now, that wasn't just by, you know, hey, I'm going to gain 20 pounds while I'm over here. It took some exercise. And our faith, to take that from little faith, it has to be exercised. It has to be put into action. So you take that knowledge of what you know about the Lord and about yourself, and you put that into action and apply it to that current circumstance. And that's what they did. And so we see, though, that the situation changed in that incident, that there was no storm and then the storm arose. But here it's a little different. When Peter steps out of the boat, the storm is already there. So why is he at one minute able to walk on the water and the next minute is sinking? It's not because of the environment's changed, but if you listen to the sociologist and the psychologist and people of our day and time, they will tell you, you know, what's wrong is you're a product of your environment. You need to get out of your environment. Well, that doesn't hold water to Scripture. You think of Adam and Eve. What were they in? A perfect environment. And what happened? They fell into sin. It wasn't because of the environment. Here, Peter didn't start to sink because of his environment or the circumstances. The problem was solely within Peter. And you know, 99% of our problems and my problems and your problems is not the preacher's. It's not somebody else's. It's you. If you want to see the majority of your problems, all you got to do is go get a mirror and look in it. And I say that not to belittle you, not to hurt you, not to be mean, but really that's the only way there's true hope of having help, is to realize that you have a problem and to identify what that problem is. But the Scripture not only gives us the problem, but it reveals the solution to that problem. And that is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we see here Peter starts off well, and then he starts to sink. Well, why did he do that? As I said, it's not because of the circumstances, not because of the situation. The storm was there when he stepped out of the boat. But it was because of Peter. The problem was entirely in Peter. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The problem was Peter's little faith. Now, the reverse of that, the encouragement in that, you, as I reminded our adult Sunday school class before, but the encouragement to that is, you know, the Scripture says that faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed can move mountains. Do you realize little faith allowed Peter to walk on water? So imagine what great faith could do. But nonetheless, why did Peter sink? Why did this take place? If the problem was within Peter, what do you think? I'll ask you, I've got three primary things, and mine weren't original with me. They come from Dr. Lloyd-Jones here, but it pertains to not only Peter, but all of us. But what caused Peter to sink? He took his eyes off the Lord, looking at the circumstances. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Well, first of all, he says because of his disposition. You know, some people are more prone to have little faith or allow things to bother them based on their disposition, based on their chemical makeup, based on how God has designed them. We're not blaming God for that. God has given them that personality, that disposition, and used properly can do great things for the Lord. You look at Peter. Peter was known for what? His energy. Peter was always what? The first one to speak up. Well, a lot of times Peter was, he's the only one besides Jesus Christ to walk on water. So his disposition had its strengths. But an unguarded strength is a weakness. And I can relate a lot to Peter, really. Not that I put myself on Peter's level, but on the negative side, you know. I hate to say, but I'm wired, Rebecca can tell you, the kids can tell you, with a lot of energy. Now, some of that is caffeine-induced, but a lot of that's just the way I'm wired. But the problem with this type of disposition and personality, and I live this firsthand oftentimes, and is These people are quick to make decisions, and that's good. You got somebody that can make a decision. But oftentimes when they make a decision, this type of disposition, like Peter, they don't think it through all the way. They don't think it through clearly. They just make a decision and they go with it. Peter didn't put a lot of thought into it. Let's look here at the scripture here. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, verse 27, be not afraid. And notice how quickly this happens. Without really, the Lord spoke and said, hey, it's I. And what does Peter say? He's not the only one in the boat, but Peter says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. There wasn't a lot of thought here. Wait a minute. There's not a boat out there. How am I going to? Now, we see Peter's faith there, that he knew it was the Lord, because he knew. Peter wasn't saying, hey, I'm some superhuman or some superhero. I know I can walk on the water. He knew that, hey, if it be thou, bids me come to thee, and I will come to you. And so he had faith here, but there wasn't a lot of thought. He didn't think it through, you know? Hey, wait a minute, the storm, all these type of things. He just acted based on that decision. But as quickly as he made that decision, Peter's mind changes, you know? He goes from, and he says here, and he said, come. Now, one reason that Peter was able to walk on the water was his faith. But following faith, what is some of the things that follow our faith or should follow our faith? Good works? Anybody else? Should be increased. Obedience. Do you see, the Lord says, come, and Peter didn't say, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Well, let me make sure it's you. You know, if he didn't say, give me another sign. You remember in the Old Testament there, the story, you know, when he asked for a sign and he got the sign and he asked for another sign and wants to follow. But Peter said, the Lord says, come, and what does Peter do? He steps out of the boat. He obeys the Lord. And look what happens. When we obey the Lord, we can do great things. Not because of us, but because of Him working through us out of our faith toward Him and obedience to Him. And so Peter was able to do so. And it says, and then Peter was come down out of the ship and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then, you know, how quickly it changes, you know. Here he is 1 minute in a boat, and they're all afraid. Hey, it's a spirit. It's something coming toward us on the water. And Peter realizes the voice. He notices the voice of the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to you. And he's walking on the water. And then the next second, look what takes place. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. How quickly it changes, you know. You go from being in a boat, fairly safe in a storm, to walking on water, and the next thing you know, you're sinking, you're going to drown. But Peter's response is proper here. What does he say? Lord. What's he call him? Lord. He knew who it was. That shows little faith. I mean, it may have been little faith he's sinking, but ultimately, he still knows who it was. He didn't say, hey, save me. He said, Lord, save me. He knew who it was, and he knew if he was going to be saved, who was going to have to do it? Salvation is of what? Of the Lord, the scripture tells us. It wasn't, hey, wait. You know, think about it. Our natural reaction. Well, you know, we all have a natural reaction within us to desire to live, to survive. What would have been, I can tell you right now, for me, outside of the Lord working in my life, if you put me in Peter's shoes, I could tell you right then and there what I would have done. And it wouldn't have been what Peter would have done. How do we would result to, that's not what I was thinking, but it's the same line of thought. We would result to works. That's what that is it not? Trying to save yourself. How do we get through water today? None of us can walk on water, but we can go from one side of a lake to another or a pool. How do we do that? without a boat, what do kids love to do in the summertime? Swim. And my natural reaction would have been, hey, wait a minute, see if I could stay afloat for a minute, swim, and then if that doesn't, you know, work, then call out to the Lord. Or, hey, I just got to keep myself afloat long enough if I can. But that wasn't Peter's first response. He didn't try. He said, Lord, save me. Oh, you're talking about in the water there? Yeah, that's when he got into the water. And he's come on down here. But then he said, he cried saying, Lord, save me. You know, in the verse 30. Absolutely. But I think, you know, and not to debate that with you or anything, you maybe, but I think honestly, once he was able to walk on the water, Miss Ann, I think he knew who that was, you know, at that point, because that was the only ability he was going to have to do so. But yes, he did have doubts. That was my second point coming up, is doubts. Now, where do doubts come from? They're not somebody else's fault. It comes from self. And that's where, but I'm right now, we're looking at the disposition of Peter, his energetic lack of thinking things through got him into trouble. And you're absolutely right. He doubted. You know, secondly, the reason we get into trouble, our faith sometimes starts to wane, is because of doubts. And those doubts aren't created because of the situation. We can blame that situation for that. We'll say, well, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have done this. But turn to James with me. James chapter 1. Verse number 13. So sometimes we struggle. We get into discouragement. Our fear, our faith starts to wane because of our disposition. But other times it is because of doubts. Because the Lord said, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, where does doubt come from? James chapter 1 verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. See, sin, doubt is a sin. Doubt is the exact opposite of faith. So doubt is a sin. Lust, it comes from our own desires. It's not somebody else that makes us do that. It is what we want. It's within us. That doubt that Peter had, it wasn't because of the situation. The situation hadn't changed. That doubt came about because he took his focus off the Lord and started to look at the waves. But those waves were there when he got out of the boat. But what happened? As Miss Ann said, he doubted. He started to get his focus off of the Lord, and he started to sink. And so doubts are a reason we struggle. You know, and you think about the disposition of Peter. You remember when the Lord told him that they would deny him, and he said, although everyone will deny you, Lord, he said, not me. And who denied him three times, even cursed? Was it not Peter? You remember, Peter was sometimes, and as I said, I don't say this to tear him down. I can relate to him. I'm quick to make a decision and then think it through on the backside oftentimes. And that's not, it can be a good thing used properly, but it can cause you a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble doing so. You remember Peter was the pastor there, was at Galatia. And what did Paul withstood him to his face for what? Brother Danny, remember Paul going face to face with Peter? What did he rebuke him for? He was mixing law and works. He was trying to blend Judaism with grace, with the Christianity. And how do you get to that? Not thinking things through clearly. he wasn't 100% clear on justification by faith. And we're talking about Peter here. You know, he wasn't 100% clear on that. And so Paul withstood him to his face, but without thinking things through, we can get ourselves into a lot of heartaches. But doubts cause us a lot of troubles. We produce our own doubts. How do we avoid some doubts? What's some practical ways? We're talking about putting our faith into action. What are some practical ways of avoiding doubts? Reminding yourself of all that the Lord has done and that He's never failed, Spencer said. He said, remind yourself of His character. Think about upon who the Lord is. Go back to the nature of who God is, the attributes of God. Yeah, unless you're going to doubt, because your faith is in the Word of God and the God of the Word. Anybody else? I'm reminded of, I think it's in Philippians when he says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are holy, think upon these things. Do you realize that no matter how complex the human brain is, that literally we can multitask, and it may be a millisecond between thoughts, but we can only think on one thing at a time? So what I'm saying in saying that is, if we're thinking on the Scripture, if we're thinking on who God is, we're thinking about these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, there's no time for those other things. When Peter was looking to the Lord in this instance, when he was, Lord, if it be thou, and he said, okay, come. If Peter's thinking, hey, I said, if it be thou, Lord, to say come, and the Lord say come, then Peter put into action and started walking on. If he would have continued to think on that, you know what would have happened and kept his focus there? He would have continued to walk on water. But as I said, faith is not just a thought, and it's not something we had at one point. It is something we have to continuously exercise. Peter exercised that faith getting out of the boat. And that's very practical for you and I to do, you know. Think upon the Word of God. Well, he said do this. That's what he said, come, I'm going to go. I don't have to understand how I'm going to get there or what's going to happen. Go ahead, Aunt Pat. It possibly could have been. Very, very well could have been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yep, and you know, and that is a danger, very much of a danger for us. If God uses us, you know, the Bible says that He could use the stones to talk for Him. He's used a donkey to speak on His behalf. But because God has used a donkey, you know, we should realize that the power is not in the actual, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the utensil, but you get the point, is that what's important is the one speaking that gives it the ability. So we are prone, and I say myself included, oftentimes, if God uses us to do something, what do? Well, look what we did. Or, you know, we know it was the Lord, but we like to take credit for it. And you're right that, well, that's an element of pride, the root of all sin, and you're started down when you start on that path. We need to give the glory and the honor where it's due. It's of the Lord that we're able to do anything, you know? He says, even in our best state, you know what the Lord says about us outside of Christ? We're unprofitable servants. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags in His sight. And we need to be reminded of that. So that is a danger. If God uses us to do great things, we can, hey, you know? I think that was something Elijah struggled with there on Mount Carmel. You know, you think of what he done. God had used him greatly. And the next minute, where's he at? Under the juniper tree. I believe personally, and we could disagree, but I think there's a good chance that Elijah had seen God move in such a way with those 450 prophets of Baal, and he mocked them, and God had worked, that he thought possibly if God has done this, that possibly God's going to save Ahab and Jezebel, save the king and queen. And when they didn't, you see, he's discouraged. And you know, that can happen to us. We can experience the goodness of God, God doing great things, and things don't go the way we think, and we get our expectations blown, and it causes us to be discouraged. And so, that's ultimately an element of pride. Oh, absolutely. Well, when a person is full of pride, you think of, if a glass is full, it can hold no more. And if I am full of myself, there's no room for anything else. And you know what happens? I've seen people, I've been like that. I can recall a time or two that I have been to that point, Brother Danny, that I was so full of myself, I look back later and realize how full of myself I was and how foolish I really looked. And the people that had any spiritual discernment at all, they seen that. They knew that was, you know, just a young, I won't say the word, it's not a bad word, but it's probably not proper for Sunday school, but just not becoming of a Christian, you know? Pride is the root of all sin, and so weak faith comes because of doubt. Like I said, faith is the exact opposite of doubt. Faith is trusting in the Lord. Faith is just, hey, I know He can do it, and I know He will do it. Not because I know that, but because He has said so, and because of who He is. And so our faith should be tested. If it's not tested, how can we know? You know, there's moments in my life I thought, you know, I can handle what comes at me. And shortly thereafter, the Lord allowed some things to come in my life, and guess what? I couldn't handle those minute things. And ultimately, I think back to when I was saved, God used that, Brother Danny, to kind of break me. I was a young man talking about pride. I was full of pride. I had bought my own school clothes since I was 12 or 13 years old. I had worked in the summers and done all that. And I kind of got 16, 17, 18 years old. I knew better than to articulate it because I knew my dad wasn't going to let that fly. And I knew it wasn't the right thing to say as a Christian. But I felt like, to some degree, I didn't need my parents, that I could take care of myself. And so I joined the Army and I went off to basic training. And everybody told me, said, Josh, you do what you're told and you'll have no problems. Well, I took them at face value. I took that as a literal statement. No, to me, N-O meant no problems. I'm going to do what I'm told. Well, guess what I found out? No matter what you did, Pastor, those first couple weeks, it didn't matter what you did, you were going to have problems. And, you know, the Lord revealed to me, if you can't handle this guy spitting in your face, punching you up a little bit, pushing you around, and talking bad about you, what can you do with a thrice holy God that His wrath is kindled against you? And those men came and preached to us. I don't remember the text. I don't remember who they were. I wish I could. I've thought about that often. I'd like to call them and just tell them thank you. And the Lord saved me because I realized, you know what? I can't handle this. I definitely can't handle what my sin. And that's the beginning of faith, but that's what faith is. It's the opposite of pride, the opposite of doubt. It's putting our whole faith and trust, every bit of our belief, in Jesus Christ and trusting Him. And what happened when Peter did that? The Lord didn't say, well, you doubted, Peter, so go ahead and sink. He saved him, you know, and He does that for you and I today. Even though we doubt, even though we fail Him over and over, He's faithful to us. He's good to us. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. And He still takes care of His children. Now, ultimately, all this was because Peter was one of His children. So the most important thing we need to know is that our Lord, and are we His child? Because the promises in this book, that's who they're written to. Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You for what it means to us, Lord. I pray that You would forgive me as I am reminded so often of my failures, Lord, just sometimes even the lack of time management or not prioritizing my life as I should, that I realize that ultimately that is sin against you and toward those that it hurts. And so I do confess that. I ask that you would to help me in the future. Lord, I know that my disposition has not changed, that I am who I am, but I pray that you would help me, that because of who you are and that I know you live within me. And I pray that you would help me to be a better person, not just for the sake of being a better person, but that we can be a greater witness for you and that I can be a greater father, a greater husband, and ultimately a child of the King. Thank you for what you've done. I pray that you'd be with the services here today, that you'd be with the pastor, that you would speak through him, speak to our hearts, that we would be receptive to it, that you would soften our hearts, that we would receive what's said, but not only be hearers only, but doers also. Thank you for everyone in attendance here today. I pray that you would bless them in a special way and provide for their needs. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.